Just for an introductory word. Hi, Micah. Good to see you. Matthew 13. Our theme today is finding the Word. Finding the Word of God. It is, in a sense, lost. People have not found it. Even many Christians have not found it. And I want to, what beautiful worship this morning. Wow, what a good day. Wow, how great it is to praise Jesus Christ and honor him in our hearts. It's an amazing, amazing day. Thank you for the singing, Pastor Matt and the team. Matthew 13, we have these parables, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. It does not say what that treasure is, but I want to use the parable this way, that the Bible is like a treasure hid in a field. It's hid in a field. It can get buried in a library, buried in your den, up on a bookshelf somewhere. It can be buried in our society. We have lost it or forgotten about it, but it's hid in a field. When a man has found it, he hideth, and for joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So he found the treasure. He's got his mind on the treasure. He doesn't want to lose the treasure. He will buy the whole field in order to get the treasure. He'll take the whole field because the treasure is so valuable to him that he found the Bible. That happened to me. I hope it's happened to you, that we could say, in a sense, the Bible is here. We have it in front of us, and we have found the treasure in it. We have found the Bible speak to our hearts. We have found the Holy Spirit speak to us from the Bible. The Bible is the key to our life, our new life. This morning, I want to speak something about common people. Matthew 12:37, when Jesus was teaching, it says the common people heard him gladly. The common people heard him gladly. I'll draw a picture here of society. This is a triangle, and we have, this is like society in Israel. You have the elite at the top, the elite that are in control and have power. And then down below are the common people. It's a general picture of, just to get your attention, and I want you to think about it. In our society, too, there are elite people who are the people in power, in education, in medicine, in organization, in companies, in government, in politics. There are the people that are empowered. And then there are people like everybody else. There are the common people. And let's think about them at a low. It says those that are base is a verse. I want to just get your attention this morning. 1 Corinthians 1:27, those that are base. God has chosen those that are base. And it means low-level birth, low-level status in society. The base people God has chosen. The slaves, the people without property, the people without jobs, the people that are in trouble, the people that find it hard to live. God has chosen them. It's a fantastic verse. that common people heard Jesus gladly. Now, this is what we want to say. This is a loaded theme. The Bible changes lives. The Bible speaks to hearts. The Bible makes me a thinker. The Bible gives me something to meditate on. The Bible speaks to me. I am moved by the Bible speaking to my heart. I don't have anything in society. I'm at the lower level. I don't have much at all. I used to live in Eastern Europe and would travel to East European countries a lot. One of them was Albania, 80% unemployment, 80% of the people without jobs. They got little boys, 18, 20, 25 years old, would be around, hanging around, waiting to go to Italy to wash cars, work in restaurants, wash dishes, do whatever, make $200, $400, come back home. That's how they lived. Those Albanians are people, when they find the Word of God, when the Word of God speaks to you, you are alive. And this changes this. These people, not all of them, of course, but there are people that become incredibly effective in society. They become leaders. They become teachers. The Huguenots in France, the history of the church, the medieval days, when the Bible was read in Latin and all the peasants didn't understand it. And they were living in their problems and in their low-level society. They had very little. Then the Bible was translated into German, translated into French, translated into English. And the people, the common people, came alive. They discovered Christ. They discovered the Bible. The Bible was speaking to them. They became leaders. They became pastors, evangelists. They became ministers, servants. They became like humble worshipers of God. God heard their prayers. God raised up a group in society that was of a low level. And the 12 disciples of Christ, actually 11, the 11 were fishermen, and they showed us what Christ can do when we find the Bible. So that's a great theme, isn't it? Oh, Lord, the Western world is turning away from your word. We are shocked. We are amazed. They have found nothing in the field. They have found nothing. And we have found the treasure. And use this to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord. Amen.
Okay, please stand. Bless each other with a word.
Okay, you may be seated. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 25. This text is important because it's a historical reference to the church in Corinth, that there were not a lot of elite people in the church itself. Might have been 200 people in the church, and the majority or many of them were of the lower echelons in society. We read this in verse 25. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So God can look like weak and look foolish, but he isn't. We read that from Elijah, 1 Kings 17 on Wednesday night. I'm kind of tempted to preach it again this morning, but I enjoyed it a lot, and if you use that as a reference for how God does things differently from men and how God leads us in life so that we walk by faith. Sometimes his ways look foolish. Even the preaching of the gospel is foolish, as Paul writes here. But it is actually the power of God to save people, to change us, to teach us. We love communion with God when we listen to the word. It's a form of worship. When you give God your heart and your mind, that's another verse for this morning. Gird up the loins of your mind is 1 Peter 1:13. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. Who are they? Wise men after the flesh, referring to their natural gift set, their aptitudes, aptitude for mathematics or aptitude for language or for art, the people that are particularly gifted, maybe very intelligent. And it says here that not many wise men after the flesh, meaning in the world, that gifted group of people, they get saved. But Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of, but it can happen. But with God, all things are possible. But humanly speaking, it may not happen because they are occupied with their gifts, their work, their lives. Many times the others, look at verse 26, and not many mighty, not many noble, that's the elite, are called. I do not know about the lives of Bill Gates and various leaders and athletes, maybe NBA, NFL leaders, owners. I do not know about their status before God, but here we read that many times it is this way. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Now we have this word foolish here in the Greek, where we have moros, where we have the word, it means fool. We also, in English, we have the word moron, a fool. The Apostle Paul uses it of himself in 1 Corinthians 4:10. Here we have foolish and ignorant questionings, Titus 3:9, and here the foolishness of God, 1 Corinthians 1:25. Okay, and then here in verse 27, the foolish things, literally the foolish thing in the world. So we are looking at what I called this morning common people, or just people like us who may not be particularly gifted or rich or empowered, but we are the people that Jesus preaches the gospel to. Luke 4:22, I'll read it there for you. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the Messiah, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The word poor there is this word potochos, and it means not just poor like as in America, but poor more radically, without clothes, without food. They are very, very poor. I have been called to preach the gospel to them. Why those people? What good is that? What will that do? That can change a society. That changes a life. That's why Jesus came. Because this Bible has the power to change a life, to bring new life into a person and enlighten their mind and change their thinking and make them a dignified human being. Let me write here two words regarding man made. I just want to, when we are made in the image of God, I want to say two things about it. Dignity. You have dignity that comes from God. The world buries it for the poor. He buries it by the drug addict, buries it by the lie and the sexual lifestyle of people. The dignity, where is it? It's there. Because God so loved the world that he gave his son. And he preaches the gospel to those people. That's God in the world, not man in the world. Man in the world of the elite is looking to dominate, is looking to take advantage, is looking to secure their authority. And not in every case, but I think you get the idea. There is a whole discussion in the world of our social media. I want to read this. According to a recent study by the U.S. Department of Education, 19% of high school graduates cannot read. 21% of adults read below the fifth grade level. What happened to reading? Where did the reading go? How many people read? How many people want to read? How many people have something interesting to read about? Where is their interest? Well, it may be they have none. What's the answer? To be born again. When you're born again, the Spirit of God gives you a new heart, renews your mind, and you gird up the loins of the mind. The mind is a terrible thing to lose, but an incredible thing to gain. The mind, your mind, you have dignity. And then number two, we have this, with that dignity, we have community. We have each other. We have family. And this is how God is. God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are a fellowship. When you are made in this world so that you would have dignity and community, where we would recognize your value, we would love you, and you would love in return, that this is our fellowship, John 13, that as I have loved you, so love one another. This is our new life. This is what the common people are needing, and this is what happened in Corinth. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That means a peasant in the Middle Ages who is born again and has a new life and loves his wife and his children and desires to go to school, and universities are born in the castle. In the castle, there's a new idea, and it's called education. It's called university. They were born in Europe as a result of spiritual revival with common people. That common people wanted to learn. They wanted to understand. They wanted to be taught. They wanted to listen to preaching. You know, in Geneva, during the time of John Calvin, there was two messages every day. There was a message in the morning and a message in the evening. And he went through books of the Bible and went there, did this for decades. And how Geneva became like a marvelous city, a changed city, a society where people were enjoying the ministry of the Word of God. And when this happens in your heart, my heart, I turn from marijuana to Christ. I turn from selfishness to service. We turn from ourselves to God. We find God. And so that's our story. We're looking at it here. I want to continue reading what this journalist and political editor, William Haupt, said. What happened to the distinguishing traits that made us a great nation? A great nation is one that is talking and listening to itself. When the conveyance of cogent knowledge is replaced with rumor, gossip, half-truths, non-truths, the mindset of fragile groups within a society is easily coerced. Mistruth was responsible for social and political convulsions that led to two great wars. Okay, I want to say it this way. we've got a social media elite that's bombarding us with information, and some of it is true and some of it may not be. And we are, our people are following movies and information, and they're on their phones a lot, and they're reading these things and so on. The depth of the thought isn't there. The depth of what I'm talking about as a common man is that when we find the Word, this book, that this book, page by page, can go in my mind and in my heart, and I can meditate on the whole book of Daniel and think about the whole book of Daniel and sit down and meditate on it, and the Holy Spirit brings something, and I'm focused on something. It happens to me all the time. Yes, because not because I'm a pastor, but because I've been taught for more than 50 years. I've been listening to this book, and the benefit of it is incredible, the value of it and what it does in your practical life. This is why this is like a sanctuary for us, a hiding place, a place where we can get instruction and find our way in a troubled world. Martin Luther said something interesting about this subject. The great unthankfulness, contempt of God's word, and willfulness of the world make me fear that the divine light will soon cease to shine on man, for God's word has ever had its certain course. In the time of the kings of Judah, Baal obscured the brightness of God's word, and it became hard labor to destroy his empire over the hearts of men. Even in the time of the apostles, there were heresies, errors, evil doctrine spread abroad by false brethren. Next came Arius, and the word of God was hidden behind dark clouds. But the holy fathers, Ambrose, Hilary, Augustine, Athanasius, and others dispersed the obscurity. Greece and many other countries have heard the word of God, but have since abandoned it. And it is to be feared even now it may quit Germany and go into other lands. I hope the last day will not be long delayed. The darkness grows thicker around us. Godly servants of the Most High become rarer and more rare. Impiety, licentiousness are rampant throughout the world, and we live like pigs, the wild beasts, devoid of all reason. But a voice will soon be heard thundering forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." God will not be able to bear this wicked world much longer, but will come with a dreadful day and chastise the scorners of his word. Yes, Martin Luther saw our day 500 years later. He would be amazed that God is so patient still. Yes. One last one here. The great men and the doctors understand not the word of God, but it is revealed to the humble and to children, as is testified by the Savior in the gospel according to Matthew 11:25. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. I love that thought. You know, many of us are common people, but we've given our hearts to Christ. We've opened this book. We've had a pastor teacher. We've gone through pages, chapter by chapter, not only in this church in Baltimore, but we have done it in Finland. We have done it in Budapest. We have done it in many servants, have done it all through many parts of Africa. It is being done today in India. It is being done in China. It is a testimony. It is a marvel. It is a very treasure that we relate to in life. It is this book living and speaking to us and guiding us and directing us. So let's close, turn to the second part of the message is, how does this work? Just 1 Peter 1:13. And I don't think there could be a better verse for our subject today. By the way, up on the screen, the elite don't want you to understand who you are. They don't want you to be empowered. They don't want you to disagree with them. They don't want you to be independent and free. They don't want you to find your feet in life. They don't want you to raise your own children and teach them the word of God. They want the word of God hidden somewhere. Pastor Steve joked with me that the digging up out there with the big machines is that they're looking for the word of God out there underneath the asphalt. I said, no, it's in here. It's in the room here. You don't have to dig it up there. Buy the field and dig it up. They don't want you to find it. They don't want you to discover it in your own heart. They don't want you to relate to God with the Bible. Listen, I can pray without the Bible. I have no Bible in me. I pray, God help me. God help, keep me, bless my family and everything. That's one way to pray. That's fine. I'm not. That's fine. But I want to say something else. John 15. If my word abides in you, there it is. If my word abides in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. This is something more. This is the Bible in memory. Now, you might say, I don't have a good memory. I can't even remember a phone number. I don't have a good memory. And we say this is a teaching that the Lord has given us, which is really, you have a memory, a natural memory, and then you have an internal memory that's from the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit brings to your mind. This is spiritual. You don't have a good memory, fine. I don't have the best myself. It's not getting any better either. It's on the downhill slide. But there are things that you remember because the Spirit brings them back to you. You remember a message from 40 years ago. You remember somebody's name from 20 years ago. You remember something that happened. You remember something God puts in your mind. He brings it to your memory. I have something for you to do today. Like, that's how we live. You have a time of prayer in the morning and be just totally before God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And listen to him for some minutes. Wait on God. He may tell you or he may lead you. It's a relationship with God based on humility and based on what he says here in the Word. It's comforting. It's the comfort of the Scriptures in Romans 15:4. It's encouragement. It's correction, 2 Timothy 3:16. When you go to bed at night, it will keep you, Proverbs 6:22 and 23. When you wake up, it'll speak to you, and when you walk along the way, it will keep you. It will speak to you. That's Proverbs 6:23. Okay, go to 1 Peter 1:13. This is a very good verse. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That's difficult language because we don't talk like that. Gird up your loins, okay? So what I have read is that they had these tunics, these kind of long garments and a sash around. And when they would run, they would lift up the middle and tuck it in. They could run and not stumble over it. You could stumble over your tunic, but you're girding up. Another idea of girding, when Jesus washed the feet, he girded himself with a towel. He wrapped a towel around him. Later, Peter uses it this way. We don't know if it was in his mind seeing Jesus gird himself, but Peter said, gird yourself with humility. As Jesus put the towel around him and he washed feet, it's a picture of humility. Well, my mind can go everywhere, but I need to kind of get a grip on my mind, and my mind is not to be wasted. My mind is to be girded up. My mind is not just to be bombarded with stimuli day and night, and I become mindless or foolish. Here's a few other Greek words for the word foolish here for my mind. Here it is. Aphron. It means without reason, want of mental sanity and sobriety, reckless and inconsiderate habit of mind, the lack of common sense perception of the reality of things natural and spiritual, or the impudent ordering of one's life in regards to salvation. This word aphron is used in Luke 11:40, Romans 2:20, 2 Corinthians 11:16. It's a aphron is a non-thinking person. Tell me about it. A non-thinking person. Can they read? Maybe not. When they have a conversation, do they have something to contribute? Maybe not. How many swear words do they use in a day? What is their vocabulary? What are they thinking about? What are they interested in? Well, sisters and brothers, here's the miracle that this is why we're here. It is that Jesus Christ saves somebody, and immediately their new birth is a reality. They may not know it, but they are born again immediately. They are changed. They are born of the Spirit. Christ dwells in them, and now they're able to think with God. They're able to think with God. They're able to listen. They're able to increase in knowledge. A wise man, it says in Proverbs 26:5, a wise man increases in knowledge. He becomes interested in things. He is learning and growing. My wife was studying about a disease last night, a childhood, a genetically passed disease. And she was so fascinated in it and studying it, you know, off of her phone and talking to me about it. And I was like so impressed that she was fascinated with the disease and the symptoms of it and what it does and how the thing, there's no cure for it. I kind of feel like that's not my wife, that's my wife, but that's more. Is the Holy Spirit using that? Is she interested because of love? Is she interested because, like, this is like God put us in a world so that we would have dignity as people and understand the world we live in. We would actually be able to love each other. We would actually be able to be servants of each other, not small little people that are selfish and non-thinking, just living, as Martin Luther said, like pigs. Like animals. But no, we are to live like angels. We are to live like with a fellowship. That in ourselves, we aren't anything. But the common people sensed from Christ that this message is for them. It's for the guy who struggles in Dundalk, the guy that's struggling in the inner city of Baltimore, the guy that's struggling in Albania without a job, the guy that's lonely, the guy that maybe is homeless, the guy that failed out of school twice, the guy that can't make it, the guy that just is at the bottom. He's the throwaway. No, not with God. There's no throwaway. God is the Redeemer. God gave his son. God gives us his heart and mind. And he gave us a diet of the Bible. This is the key to your life. Don't compare yourself to other people. This is for you. Get in the zone with God and hear from God and walk with God. No one is like you. You are special. No one has a calling like you have a calling. I mean, our calling is the same in many ways, but you are different from everyone else. Your DNA is different. Your iris, your eyes are different. Your fingerprints are different. You're different from everyone else, and God made you in his image with dignity, and it is discovering the Bible as a habit of life that builds me, that helps me, that gives me a newborn interest. I become a student. I become focused in faith. I become a man of God, a woman of God, and you can live your whole life. You might say, no, I could do it for maybe a while, but I don't think I could do it. No. This isn't about you doing it. This is about God giving you grace. God giving you grace every day. God visiting you always, never leaving you, never forsaking you. God calling you by name. God saying, rejoice, your name is in the book of life. God saying, I am your father. You are my child. Hear what I have to say. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord in Jeremiah. Hear God's word. So that's the message. Well, I wish I could say it louder, clearer. I wish I could say it all over again. Oh, wow. I mean, it's amazing. In practice, read it like a magazine. Just read it. Get a translation you can understand. Read it. Read it on your knees. Read it like a sacred book and put it somewhere. Sometimes I just hold it like this and I just look at it and I think about it. This is it. This is the key. This is the treasure. This is gold. This is what takes a common man and makes him like David. David was a shepherd boy and became king. What about it? God, the elite are not controlling my life. In our society, it's not the elite that look down at me and they are not controlling my life. No, I don't care about it. I love them. I love them. I pray for them. We care about those people. That's fine. I do not envy them. I have no envy for anybody that has some great privileges in society. No, I have no interest in that. I found Jesus, and he's taken care of me all my life. What a way to live. Come on. And if you got, hey, listen, you get a church where you learn the Bible. You go to a church where you learn the Bible, and you stay there, and you keep going at it, and you learn it. God will help you. God will teach you. God will encourage you and help you all the time in every phase of life. Okay, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. And we meet now. We meet tonight. We meet Wednesday night. There's so much on the website. There are old messages from Dr. Stevens. There is teaching. And it has done us real well. It has helped us a lot. It has helped us so much. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here today, not yet born of God, say to Christ, I believe in you. I put my trust in you. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. You saved me. You came into the world to save me. I accept it and believe it. I'm walking by faith in you, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Anyone saying the prayer, just raise your hand in the auditorium. We want to say to you, you are born of God. You are a child of God, and give you a booklet. Anybody? Anywhere in the auditorium? Okay. Amen.